Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I think you and I, Sue, share a little affection for Steve Winwood.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I want to bring something up here with our friend Tim Summer, who's going to talk music. We welcome Tim to the show while I'm playing Steve Winwood. How are you, Tim Summer?
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Let me ask you this, because I've expressed my love and admiration before for John Mayer. I love John Mayer. I have a man crush on him. He's got a Sirius XM station. So I'm listening to that yesterday,
Sure. Maybe
even this morning, and he's playing Steve Winwood. He plays Steve Winwood, and he says, think about this song in a different way than you maybe already have, lyrically. And he said, and maybe there's something to this, I don't know, he said, what if Steve Winwood was talking, when he says a higher love, he's talking about God, right?
That's what I always thought it was.
Right.
I agree with, you know what, when I probably was in my 20s when I first heard that song, and I'm with Sue. That's the first thing that occurred to me.
See, yeah. I'm dumb. I guess I never really thought of it that way. I just thought of it a higher love between people, which I guess still applies, but he just kind of gave me a different approach to interpreting that song, which I always kind of appreciate. But you guys are smarter than I, so there you go. There's proof of that right here. We don't have to talk much further.
I want to say something. I want to say something to you, and I want to say something to Sue and everyone who works there. You know what? I want to say something about the Mark Reardon Show. It is smart and it is fun. And people need to tune into the show because they are going to hear smart people and they are going to have a good time. They're not going to be lectured to. They're not going to be hectored at. They're not going to be told what to think. They're going to listen to smart people and they're going to have a good time. And one of the reasons I'm saying that, other than my affection for you guys, is you sound like you're having a very good time today.
We are, but, you know, when you say you're not going to be lectured at, have you listened to this show before? That's one question I would have. No, but I appreciate it, Tim. That was very nice of
really
you to say.
That's really a nice thing to say.
You know what? I've been listening. I listen to the whole show today. I always listen on the days that I'm on and sometimes when I'm not. And you never tell people what to think. God bless you for that.
One of the things that I think is, and this is why I appreciate what you're saying, is there does to be, I think, there's an assumption sometimes that's made on the part of other people, just because of the radio station, that we just do all politics. We don't do all politics. We talk about a lot of things that, you know, Sue, a couple of days ago, and this connected with the audience in a way that you might predict, because everyone has to get you United States Mail, Postal Service packages. Sue lost a package of shampoo, and we talked about that a couple of days ago. And, man, all kinds of reaction, because it's such a relatable thing.
Yeah.
People could connect with. So
yeah.
Very kind words, Tim Summer.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Well, let's start with Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because we did on Sue's News a couple of days ago talk about, you know, the results of the fan voting. But then Sue also made mention of the fact that the fan voting doesn't really mean that's who's going to get in, right? It's just part of the voting process.
It's only one vote, right, Tim?
That's correct. It's not a big, you know, and I got to say, it's an interesting lineup this year. It's a very interesting lineup this year.
So who's going to get in? What's the prediction here?
Well, because usually there are people where you look at the list and you say, "Oh, they're a lock." I don't see locks this year. If you ask me to pick, if you ask Tim Sommer to pick who he thinks is going to get in this year, I would say the closest thing to a lock, there are two artists that I would say are the closest thing to a lock, which is not to say they are a lock. The closest thing to a lock to me is Cyndi Lauper and Manna, okay? Just because I think the political climate of the time, and I'm not going to elaborate on that, is going to compel people to vote for Manna. That's all I'm going to say and leave it at that. So Cyndi Lauper, Manna, I think those are the closest things to locks. If you're going to ask me to pick three or four others who I think are going to get in this year, I'm going to say Joe Cocker, Soundgarden, Outkast, and my friend Billy Idol. And I'm going to leave it at that. But it's a much more wide-open year than usual. Now, who won the fan vote? Was it Fish?
It was Fish.
And then Bad Company was second, and Billy Idol was third.
I would say, you know what? Fish could get in. It's wide open this year, and I think that's very interesting. I think that's a sign that they're sort of getting a little better at nominating, at their nominating process, that it's such a wide open field. Who do you guys think are going
to
get
in? Well, it's hard for me to gauge just because of the politics, but you mentioned Mana. They're Mexican, is that it? Hispanic,
yes.
Mexican. So they get only 35,000 votes in the fan vote, which is kind of, you know, expected because nobody knows them. But because of the politics, I guess you say they might get in. I would anticipate that Fish gets in. I would hope Billy Idol gets in. Look, I'm very partial to Bad Company. I love Paul Rogers because he's done so much in a variety of different bands. I was a huge Bad Company fan. I think they had a lot of influence in the mid to late 1970s. It's hard for me to keep Cyndi Lauper out, not because I think she's a rock artist, but because of her influence. I don't know. You know, if I'm making cuts here, I'd say Chubby Checker probably can wait a little while, right?
Yeah, and I don't think every year Joy Division, New Order are nominated, and every year they don't make it in, and I don't think this is the year for them. I don't think this is Oasis's year. The White Stripes belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think this is their year either. So in a way, you're right. It's easier to eliminate people. And you know what? Maybe it's wrong for me to have eliminated, to said Fish won't get in. Fish probably will get in. You know what? And I said, this is a positive thing that's so wide open, that the nomination process is not nearly as politicized as it has been in the past years, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, it is.
So they're going to announce this, I guess, Sunday night during American Idol. That's something new, isn't it?
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't either until I just read it, but I guess that's the way that they're going to kind of reveal, if you will, unfold the nominees. One of the things we want to talk about.
I will confess a little bias here because I did use my skills as a journalist. Not as a journalist. That's the wrong way to put it. I did work with Billy Idol to write some things for to increase his profile, let's put it this way, during the period when he was running up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For instance, there's a terrific, terrific Billy Idol video up on YouTube of him playing the MTV New Year's Eve Ball 1983, okay? It is a fantastic video. It is rock and roll. It is sloppy. It is fun. It's exactly the kind of thing you don't associate with the slickness of MTV. Like, songs start off in the wrong key. Billy forgets lyrics. But they're having a great time on stage. And if you go to that on your YouTube page, you will see that the blurb that goes along with it is something that I wrote. I'm very proud of that.
Well, and nice. We got to mention here, and I haven't checked it out. I just put it in my queue earlier today in title, but Billy Idol has got a new album out today, like brand new record.
And again, I'm a little biased because I'm friends with Billy, but it is a wonderful, wonderful album. And the single that came out today is a duet with Avril Lavigne. And it is just, he's doing serious adult rock and roll. Let's put it that way. He's taking everything you've loved about Billy Idol, and he's doing it as a 69-year-old man, as a man reflecting on his life. His new album is a concept album looking back on his life and his journey through his addictions, through punk rock, through stardom, through the motorcycle accident that nearly killed him. He's written sort of almost like a Pete Townsend-type rock opera, but it's about his life. And I have to say, it's going to be, I don't want to speak for either of you guys, but it's going to be one of your favorite records of the year. I mean that.
But also there's a documentary that, you know,
I guess
was at Tribeca that's called Billy Idol Should Be Dead that they're starting to push out there as well. That could be interesting.
Billy is not someone who he takes himself very seriously. He takes his art very seriously, but he doesn't have that big a head. He really doesn't. He can be very, very modest and very honest about who he is and the mistakes he's made in his life. And that's why he's willing to call a documentary that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I love, you know, this. We've talked about it before. I love the good music and rock documentaries, so I would be looking forward to
that. I wanted to add something else, too. You were talking earlier, and it was a great discussion, about the great first lines of rock and roll songs.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, as someone who has produced records, as someone who has made records, as someone who is in the music business, I've been in the studio with many bands, including many bands who are making famous records. And there is nothing as important as those first 15, 20 seconds of a song. And when I think of that, really, really, can you beat a better opening line? Can you beat a better opening line than S-A-T-U-R-E-A-Y, night?
That's a good one.
What gets better? Not only than that, you've said the title of the damn song in the first line of the song so people know what to ask for.
Yeah,
that's
it's hard
true.
To argue
that's
against
one.
That one. You know, and then some song, I've heard different philosophies on this. I can't remember which songwriter I heard, but, you know, there are songs that start with the first verse, but there are a lot of songs that start with the chorus, right? And I've heard songwriters say, look, you start with the chorus because that's the strongest part of the song. Now, not every song can be structured or crafted that way, but that's a tool that is used for sure.
You know, when you're dealing with not just pop music, even weird music, but I'm just, you know, you're grabbing people. You are fighting a happy fight, a happy war for people's ears. Now, I want to ask you guys something. I was looking over the list of the artists playing in St. Louis over the next few months, okay? The last time we had a discussion about who was playing in St. Louis in the St. Louis area, okay? I can't remember when it was, maybe about 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
Right.
I don't. We were like, there's no one coming here.
Yeah.
What the hell happened? There was an embarrassment of riches in St. Louis in May, June, and July. What happened?
Well, good. I mean, sometimes it's a timing thing. I have no idea, but I do think we're being skipped over. I mentioned AC/DC, not that they're going to every city, but you're saying that the lineup for this early summer and spring is pretty strong, is what your assessment is.
It seemed great. Like, you're going to see Brooks and Dunn tonight, is that correct?
I'm not. They are here tonight, just down the street from us, but I can't do it tonight. I would go.
I've been, you know, first of all, I'm also going to interject with something again, a slight irrelevancy, that When are you going to make your playlist up on a streaming service?
I am. I've been doing it for 2 weeks. Yeah, I've done it for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I put a Spotify
list.
That's
what I know.
Yeah. Well, but it's new. It is a new feature, and we've had, you know, you were not on the air for a little while because we've been doing the fish fries. But yeah, I just thought, and you were one of the people that recommended that. So I put the playlist up there on Twitter every day, and I put a Spotify. I like Tidal, as you know, as my music service, but Spotify is a little bit more user friendly. So every day at around 6 o'clock or by about 6:10, the playlist is up there.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You guys, let me also say this. Also on the list of the best rock song beginnings and lyrics, there was Prince, Dearly Beloved. And I think that's a really good one.
That's right. Yeah. You know why? You know why? It grabs you. You go, what the hell is happening here? What is going on here? And the most effective songs are the ones where you go, what is going on here? I need to know more.
That's exactly right.
I don't think we mentioned Styx. This is a pretty good opening line. Renegade, oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life.
Oh, that's another good one.
How about this one from Warren Zevon for Werewolves of London? I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for a place called Li Ho Fook's, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. That's a great one. There's so many of them, right?
You know, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of shows coming to the St. Louis area. People are going to have a great time this spring.
You highlight there on some of the tours? Because I have not been as effective at tracking some of the folks that are coming through town. I've got a couple of things on my calendar. I'm like, if I'm open that night, I'd love to see them. But there's nothing. Right now, I don't hold tickets for any shows, period, which is a little weird.
If you want to see, okay, I'll just jump right into it. If you want to see one of the best new British bands, the kind of band where people are going to go, you saw them back in the day? Okay. On May 13th at Off-Broadway, there's a band called The Tubbs playing. The Tubbs, T-U-B-S. Huh. They are a fantastic new British band who play old school Smiths, R.E.M. type jangle pop. They've gone back, they're a young band, but they've gone back in their sound 30 years to that wonderful jangle sound of R.E.M. and the Smiths. And they're going to be, I think they're going to be really big in America, so this is a chance to catch them at a smaller venue.
Well, I love that.
Speaking of the Smiths, I see that Morrissey is playing The Factory on May 12th, if he doesn't cancel. As you probably know, Morrissey has a bad history with cancellation.
Yes, I'm aware of that for sure. On the Tubbs, just real quickly, I just put it into my queue on Tidal, but that is a great, Off-Broadway is a great, just grungy little place. If you're right about this band blowing up, that would be just a classic, epic location to see that band
for
the first time.
Totally.
And this is just a delightful band. I mean, there are a lot of us who grew up, including, I think, you guys, who grew up on college radio, who grew up listening to bands like, I don't know, R.E.M., Toad the Wet Sprocket, on and on and on, bands like that. And this is a return to that sound, but they're a young English band, and they're an absolute delight. Once again, they're called The Tubbs, T-U-B-S. Now, if you want a night that you're not going to forget and that your ears may not forgive you for...
won't recover?
Uh-oh.
This is a venue I'm not familiar with, Red Flag.
Red Flag's a place that I've never been to. My kids go there quite a bit.
Really?
My son Aiden, who's a teacher in Chicago, he and his girlfriend have gone to Red Flag. I've dropped them off there to multiple shows over the last, 6 or 7 years. So it's down closer. It's if you go down Olive,
it's on Locust.
Yeah, so it's down a couple of miles from here. It's not that far. So who's there?
On May 19th, how's this for a double bill? Napalm Death and the Melvins. As you may or may not know, the Melvins were Kurt Cobain's favorite band. Oh. The Melvins play loud, groaning, and I use that word very deliberately, loud, groaning, grinding heavy metal punk. So if you want to have a great night that you will remember and that your ears will not forgive you for, see Napalm Death and the Melvins at Red Flag on May 19th. So that's on my list. I don't know how you guys feel. One of my favorite types of music, not necessarily to listen to on a record, but if you ever have a chance to experience live, you will thank me if you see the Rebirth Brass Band. Have either
no,
of you guys ever
seen Rebirth not even Brass familiar Band? With that.
Okay, it's New Orleans brass band music.
Ooh.
Which is thumping, New Orleans style, honking fun night. You will have a great time. The Rebirth Brass Band from New Orleans are playing City Winery on June 1st. I didn't even know you guys had a City Winery. Is that new there?
Yeah, it's relatively new. I'd say 2 years maybe. I've been there a couple of times, but I've been there for very, very singer-songwriter acoustic sets. I've never really seen anyone really rock or blow horn section in there, so that could be interesting.
You will thank me for this, just as if you've never seen the Melvins, I mentioned them before, they're playing at Red Flag on May 19th. If you've never seen the Melvins, They are a pioneering band who are a big influence on Nirvana and a big influence on an entire generation of sort of grunge, drony metal bands, if you like that sort of thing, which not everyone does. Now I'm going to move right ahead. June 14th at the Hollywood Casino. Is that the name of the place?
Yeah,
Hollywood,
that's the big amphitheater. That is our outdoor amphitheater.
Yeah. June 14th, Dave Matthews Band. And, you know, the longest month of my life was spent at a three-hour Dave Matthews concert. But there's some people who are really into that thing, and Dave Matthews, I'll flat out say this without any hesitation, one of the nicest men in the history of rock and roll is Dave.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, here's you'll find this interesting, Tim. So when I met my wife, this would have been, you know, early 2000s, my number one band still is the E Street Band, Bruce Springsteen. She was a big Dave Matthews fan. So I've taken her to probably 10 Springsteen shows. She's taken to me to probably 10 Dave Matthews shows, sometimes with, you know, sometimes his acoustic show. And I will say this, that, you know, I've seen him multiple times. It's outstanding live, and I can probably just watch his drummer, Carl Buford, just hit his drum kit over and over. He's so damn good, I could just watch him drum for 3 hours. That's just my opinion.
High-end musicianship, incredibly original music. It gets a little tiring for me personally.
I get it.
A little samey.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dave Matthews once said to me, this is an absolutely true story, Dave Matthews once said to me, and I will admit that there may have been a little alcohol involved. He might have been a little, let's just say, affected by,
sure, fair enough,
by the gin, let's put it that way, at the time. Dave Matthews once said to me that his music was like petting dolphins. That's what his music is. That his music was music to pet dolphins by. And you know, and if the man said it, who's to disagree with him? But I know there are a lot of Dave Matthews bands fans out there. I also see that the big Outlaw Music Festival is playing Hollywood Casino on Amphitheater on June 28th. Now, that's Willie Nelson, who's well into his 90s, and Bob Dylan, and who's well into his 80s. And I got to say, if you've never seen Bob Dylan or only seen him in the distant past, Bob Dylan is a man who gets what live rock and roll is all about, much in the same way that Bruce Springsteen does. I think Bruce Springsteen goes out there every night to have an experience between him and the audience, but mostly for himself. And that's what Bob Dylan does.
You know,
Bob Dylan every night steps on stage and he's saying, I am going to have a good time and remind myself why I love rock and roll. And I think it's exactly the same thing Bruce Springsteen does. I think Bruce Springsteen has a love affair with rock and roll, and that's what he brings to the stage every night. That's what Bob Dylan does too. And who knows when will be the last time.
That's true about that.
True,
yeah.
True.
Bob Dylan or Willie Nelson. I have a feeling we're at the end of the line for Willie Nelson, not because he's in ill health or something, but how much longer can he go on?
Tim, I got to go. You know we can talk music all night, but I got to look at the clock, and unfortunately, I didn't look at the clock. So I will talk to you, and I'm back from Greece, but thank you so much.
God bless
all
both of you. Have a great time.
That's Tim Sommer. Thank you so much.
Get more at 971talk.com.